We'll talk for about 3 hours. And we just sit there and just talking about different things. And we got to talking on this particular topic about encounters. And I told her, I said, you know, the reason why many people don't change is because they don't have an encounter. They've had an experience, but never an encounter. I've experienced great things. I've gone to a movie and experienced great popcorn, hot dog, nachos, and a great movie. But it didn't change my life. But I've had an encounter with Jesus myself. And my wife says, yeah, I can see the change in you. You're not the person that you were when I met you. You're more handsome. She told me that. You got less hair, but you're more handsome. But when you have an encounter, there's something that changes inside of you. You're no longer talking the same. You're no longer walking the same. Jacob had an encounter, or did he have an experience with God? He had an encounter. When he had an encounter with God, what happened? It changed. Did it come pleasantly? No, it wasn't pleasant. He separated his hip. Because there's always something wrong with your walk. That I have to make some change in your life. Are you going to walk your walk or walk my walk? Because the walk that you've been walking, you've been having experiences in an outer court. But when I touch you and you have an encounter with me, I brought you into the Holy of Holies. How many of you want that encounter? Yeah. Talking to Pastor Benny earlier before the service. And we're talking about international ministry. How when you go internationally, it's different when you go overseas to minister. Because there's such a hunger for the word. They may have heard the same word that you're preaching. They may have heard it 3 or 4 times. But they're leaning in. They want to know the next nugget that's getting ready to come out of your mouth. Come back to the States and people are like, well, are you through yet? Because I've heard this before. I'm going to step on some toes if it's your toes. The gospel is gospel. You should want to hear the gospel. People say, well, the gospel is the good news, the salvation of your soul. That's gospel. Yes, that's gospel. It's the good news. And it's simple. Simplified. But then the rest of the Bible is speaking about how we should live, because it's the Bible that gives us the instructions on how to live righteous as opposed to living unrighteous. To live the way that Jesus lived, and look at him as an example, not as the disciples as an example. Jesus was the example, not the disciples. Many of us will pattern ourselves after a disciple because, well, that's them. They had it wrong. So Jesus had to spend every waking hour with him. For 3.5 years, some of y'all can't even get along for 2 days. Okay, not y'all. Y'all are okay. You're okay. But if we can't get along, how are we going to be able to see how God is moving in someone else's life and not celebrate their victories because you want your victories to be celebrated? When you have an encounter with God, things change. We should be encountering God in every service. Because the Bible says when 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, he is where? In the midst. He's there. Are we experiencing God or getting so used to the experience that we no longer have an encounter? We need to have an encounter. Look to your neighbor and say, how big is your butt? How big is your butt? I did a Facebook Live before the service. I told Trey, I want you to record me. And I'm recording it. He's like looking at me like, oh my God, what is that? How big is your butt? The butt, the B-U-T, that comes out of your mouth cancels everything out. It cancels everything out. But we have grown up in a society where we will make excuses over every blessing that God wants to get to us. But But, como que but? No but. No but. Are you at Isaiah 6? You there? Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 9. If you have it, say amen. Stomp your feet. I can hear that. I can hear that. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, the NIV reads this wise. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook the temple and was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. When it touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me," he said. "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that the insight that you give us, Lord, is the insight to the kingdom of God, for the manifest presence of your kingdom here, Lord. Let us walk in that authority as a kingdom ambassador. Lord, we thank you for the word penetrating our heart, our soul, and our mind. Let us put this to practice in our life every day. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. What I want to share with you is the encounters and experiences. And I want to take the but out the way. An experience is defined as a practical contact with an observation or facts or events. And an experience is an involvement in, participation in, and contact with. The other is an acquaintance with, or an exposure. But an encounter is to come upon face to face, to come upon or experience, especially unexpectedly. An encounter will happen in your life unexpectedly. An encounter will come where God will meet you face to face. And where every theologian and every spiritual mind will tell you you'll never see God. If that's the case, then why are we serving a God? God wants to show himself to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to reveal his heart to us. He wants to reveal everything that he has for us. But what happens is we have the but in our life that says we can't. He wants to reveal himself to us in his deity, his glory. Because when you find God, you find the answer to the kingdom that can change your king, your kingdom here. See, we need experiences and we need encounters. An experience will tell me, I've been to a church and I heard a great message, but an encounter tells me that message became part of me. And experiences, I got goosebumps, and many will say that the goosebumps is a reflection of the Holy Spirit being present. There's a cold front coming in, and I bet you will have goosebumps later. A real encounter will make a change in your life, but an experience is only something that you had for a moment. But an encounter will change everything about you. Isaiah the writer is writing this about his experience that he encountered with God. And here's the things that many people can many different ways people can encounter God. One, through reading of the Bible, reading the Word. How many of you have had an encounter while you're reading the Word of God? I remember we used to sell some tacos when we used to have a restaurant, Popo. We used to sell some tacos at this one building in the medical center. And I had my Bible, my brother John had his Bible, and he was on another floor, and I was on the floor beneath. And people were coming by tacos from us, but we both had our Bibles out in two different floors of the building, getting into the Word. And one of the gentlemen that came down from there, you may know him as Clepto Rodriguez, that comes on Channel 4, CR. He came down because he was working there at that place. He said, "Man, I just came from us. I saw your brother, and he was reading the Word, and you're reading the Word." He said, "You want to know the crazy thing is y'all are in the same chapter." I said, "CR, man, are you serious?" He goes, "Yeah, you guys just, y'all are for real." He says, "When I left your brother, though, he was crying. And you're laughing." And he looked at me, he says, "What's the difference?" He says, "How God speaks to us. There's times that we can cry in His presence. Other times we can laugh with joy." He says, "Man, it's just amazing to see people that will take the Bible with them to work. And let God minister to them through the Word." I had that encounter one day reading the Word, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, "I'm going to take you before kings and queens." Oh, okay, that's a good scripture. Then shortly after that, I had people prophesying to me, "You'll go before kings and queens." Well, that's a coincidence. I quickly learned that God has things set up for us by way of design, not happenstance and not coincidence. So I had my encounter begin to shape me in who I was becoming. Then another way that you can experience and encounter God is through prayer. One of the times that I was just got saved and I was in the closet and I was praying, because you know they used to tell me, "Go to your closet and pray." Okay, I went to a closet and I started praying. How many of you heard that? Go to your closet and pray, right? Well, I cleared out my closet and I went in there and I started praying. I got to the point where I started praying so much, I was laying face down on the floor and I had, you know, the carpet right here, you know, and they have that little thing on your head. I was praying so much that I started beginning to be lifted off the ground. And then my wife and kids would tell me, "I don't know what that was, but as you were praying," because they could hear me, because I pray loud. Loud. She says, "We heard like a wind come from our bedroom down the hall into the living room." Remember that? The kids remembered it. There was a wind that came. I had an encounter in that closet. See, there's times that you can get an encounter in the Word, and a time in prayer you can get an encounter, and the other is through when the Holy Spirit begins to nudge you or lead you. How many of you had a prompting of the Holy Spirit to do a certain thing? And then you're like, "Oh, I don't know if this is me." You wouldn't have done it to begin with. That's why He's telling you, He's nudging you. It's an encounter, it's an experience. Now, there's others that go beyond that, but I want to share with you out of this particular scripture, and then I'll go to more. I want to share with you that in Isaiah's case, we notice that the encounter was unexpected. Number two, it was initiated. And number three, it's still happening. Okay? We know that we can't always prepare for it, but we have to be ready for the encounter. Can you prepare really for God to just show up? We think we can. You know, when we do the fasting and praying and getting in the Word, I'm ready. The truth be told, when He shows up, He's going to show up. He's going to wreck your world. He is going to change everything about you, and He's going to change the way you've been perceiving things. Because you're going to begin to see through His eyes what He sees. And it's going to change your perception of your world. What are the things that hinder us from encountering God? One of the examples is we tend to fill our head with so much noise. We fill ourselves with so much noise. We need this, we've got to have this, we've got to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. I is the problem. We block out God's voice because of all the noise and clutter that we have. Sometimes we become so busy and occupied with our lives that we hardly leave any room or space for God. Because, you know, we have things, chores, we got things we got to do. We have expectations of ourselves that God is saying, I didn't put that on you, you put that on you. If you're wondering why you're going through so much stress in your life and you can't seem to get peace, it's because you are filled with so much anxiety because of the things you want to do and not doing what I want to do. This will help you if you listen. These are things that we're doing based on our own desires that become obstacles. Therefore, we need to empty the obstacles inside our head, our heart, and our life so that God can come in. We must have a receptive attitude to quiet down ourselves so that we can hear God. The other day, I had my headphones on. I was listening to music, and you know how we get when we have the music going on, you have your headphones on, and you don't think that you're loud. I have a dog that's at the house. It's Michael and Emily's dog, and she's so cute. She's just staring at me, and I'm thinking that I'm just kind of, hallelujah. But she's staring at me like this. You know how dogs do, like, what are you doing? So finally, I take my earphone. I was singing loud. And I think she was telling me, you're way off key. You're hurting my ears. But she didn't move. So I continued. I had my audience. I began to say some good things to the dog. I began to preach this message to the dog. And I said, how big is your butt? You think I'm lying? The dog stood up, and if you know this dog, she did exactly what I asked her. She put her butt in my face. To show me her butt. So I told her, that's not the butt I'm talking about. Have you ever had a conversation with an animal and the animal seems to look at you like they understand? So I'm trying to make my points to the dog, and the dog's looking at me and says, no, here's the problem. The dog's preaching to me. Where the head should be leading is not, the butt is leading instead. Oh, Lord. And I got to feeling that the Holy Spirit was saying, I want to lead my people in the right direction, but they have a butt in the vocabulary that doesn't allow me to get them to where they need to be. And they're always coming at me backwards as opposed to coming to me face to face. They'd rather have an experience but never encounter me face to face. Moses cried, let me see your face. He said, you can't see my face, but I will let you see my hindsight, my God. But you will see my hand. You will see my hand. Do you know what that says? The hand manifests the kingdom in your life the more you want to seek his face. But what we have a problem is that we're so cluttered in our mind. We have a religious mindset that things have to be a certain way. I've got to experience God. I've got to fall out under the power of God. But I get up the same. Oh, Lord. You see, people used to tell me, pray for 4 hours. I was in the presence of the Lord. You're still the same. I thought how you were interacting with Brother so-and-so right after church. You weren't in no presence. You were just practicing your prayers. I know what it's like. Been there, done that. I was the same way. Well, I spent time with the Lord, and the Lord showed me this and tell me this about you. You weren't in the presence of God because he shows you about you. I'm telling you, God wants to show you his hand. He wants to show you his face, and he wants to reveal his heart. The only way we're ever going to get that is with encounters, not experiences. not experiences. I had a conversation with Pastor Adrian from the last conference that we were at, and he says, you know, it's the people of God, they don't want any more workshops, and it's just not the thing anymore. Leadership this, leadership that, school for this, school for that. He says, they're tired. Is this what they want? It's a touch. I said, oh, you sure right. You sure right. We can say all the things eloquently and say everything right, put everything on, dot the I's and cross the T's, do everything perfect. But if God isn't in it, you just had a lecture. But when the presence and the power of God is present in your life, things begin to change. Change. I got three that understand. Watch this. I'm going to break down Isaiah 6 for you. In Isaiah 6:1, the prophet had an overwhelming awareness of his presence. Did you see that in Isaiah 6:1? I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Here's the thing. He saw God even in his current state. In his current state. Do you know that God wants to reveal himself to you even if you have mess in your life? Even if sin is present in your life right now, he still wants to manifest himself to you? No, don't make me go there, because some of y'all look at me like y'all are holy. Even if you got issues that are in the dark, he still wants to show up. When Adam and Eve fell, they actually were in direct. They directly disobeyed God. But the Bible says that even God came in the cool of the day to walk and commune with Adam and Eve, as it was his custom every day, even though they sinned. Even though they sinned, even though they messed up, God still wanted to commune with them. Isn't that beautiful? When we see in Genesis that he wants to still meet with us even though we're filled of mess. When we have fallen short, we have issues in our life that we think we're canceling out his presence. He said, no, I'm still here for you. That's what the prophet Isaiah was saying. I saw the Lord, but I'm a man with unclean lips. Amongst those with unclean lips. In Isaiah 6:3, an awareness of his holiness. He's aware of the holiness of God. And he holds that sacred. He knows there's something more than just prophesying. He knows there's something more than just telling the people that they're in sin. He begins to see that there is something beautiful about his presence. He recognizes that. In Isaiah 6:5, there's a sense of unworthiness. Isaiah realizes, I'm not worthy to even be in your presence. He feels less than qualified. How many of you have felt less than qualified to receive the blessing of God because there's something in your life? And the truth be told, that's nothing but the lie of the enemy. My children don't do everything right, but I still want to bless them. I don't bless them because they do right. I bless them because I love them. Amen? I bless my wife because I love her, not because she does right. Not because she cooks for me. Not because something is being done for me, do I bless her. How about you? Will you only bless someone if they're doing good to you? What if you were to have to bless your enemy? How would that be? Would your experiences outweigh the encounter that's ready for you and waiting for you? Because your experience with your enemy will cancel out you being faithful to God? Telling you. Verse 8 of Isaiah 6. There was a call to action. Isaiah became a changed person ready for service when the angel touched his lips. What happened? There was an understanding. I am changed. I told you that I'm a man with unclean lips. What did the angel come to do? Touch him from the coal, the seraphim, that brings a healing, that brings a cleansing. And it came from the altar. And it cleansed his speech. This is what needs to take place right now. Look to your neighbor and say, your butt is getting ready to get out of here. Okay, look to the other neighbor now that you've been telling. Yeah, all right, your butt is getting ready to get out of here. Amen. Your identity will change when you have an encounter with God. The purpose in your life will change when you have an encounter with God. And the boldness in Him will rise up when you have an encounter with God. Amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Now, you all know this. This particular story is about Saul being converted on the road to Damascus. Now, the history of Saul was he would always persecute the Christians. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a descendant of Rome. He was one that they all feared. So in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any two who were of the way. Do you see that in your word right there? The way. Is way capitalized? Way. Because Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. So it's speaking right here. And what he's saying is, I want to go talk to all these Christians and persecute the Christians if they're following Jesus, the way. I was going to title this message. Never mind, I ain't going to say anything. I was going to go back to my roots. All right. Okay, here we go. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, the way, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And when the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one, then Saul arose from the ground. And when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. I love this particular story because when I begin to read it, there's so much insight in this particular story that will lead us to have a better understanding of what Christ is saying to us in this hour right now. And I'm going to share it with you. I want you to look where it says in verse 5. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Watch this. It is hard for you to kick against the what? Pricks. What else does it say? Goads. And watch this. Do y'all know what a goad is? How many of you have seen those cattle prongs to move cattle through? Now, it's a sharp instrument that they use to poke these animals to get them to where they need to be. And they originally were formed for ox. Now, it's funny that an ox goad is really what he's talking about here, the ox goad. This ox goad, ox are more apt to follow instructions to be led without kicking. But if they do kick, they do more damage and more pain they're inflicting themselves the more they kick against the will. The more you kick against the will of God when he's pricking you, prodding you, and getting the goad to get you to where you need to be, you do more harm to yourself. It's more painful because you haven't submitted your will to the Father. You haven't submitted your will. And you go kicking and screaming. Have you ever had to do something when you go kicking and screaming because you don't want to do it? You know, when they told you to start the ministry, you didn't want to do it? You know, when they tell you that you should do it because you're called, you're favored, and you're anointed, and you start kicking and screaming because you don't want to do it? So then they have to send you someplace else to go hear what you need to hear from somebody else that you don't know because you're so used to kicking and screaming because out of the fear that you have, you're kicking against the will of God and it's doing you more harm than good. So you got to go to a conference. You got to go to a conference to hear everything that's been told to you first by the Lord. Then your spouse, then your pastor, then you got to go all the way. It's the Holy Ghost. You got to go to a big spring to get the well to come to you, to speak to you about what you must do, where you're supposed to go, to keep kicking against the will, to surrender your will to me, and I'll take you to places that you've never been. I'll take you to places you've never experienced. You'll step into that call that I've called you to do for a long time, but quit kicking against the goats. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about all of y'all. Oh, girl, you don't even know what's coming your way. You don't even know. It's like you've been in that holding pattern waiting. Does it change? How much longer? I do what I need to do, but it seems like it's not working. And then when I seem to get a couple of more steps forward, I get knocked back. You lift your hands where you're at. Lift your hands where you're at. Holy Spirit, let her encounter you right now in a very special way that she's been asking. She needs to be filled with that peace, oh God, once again. Not that she's in error, not that she's outside of your will, but Lord, she just needs an encounter with you for her. Lord, I thank you right now that in this very hour, there's a shift that takes place for her. As she begins to move, oh, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. The angel just touched you right now and you felt it touch you. Oh my God. Thank you for your healing right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I thank you for the healing, the manifest presence of Almighty God. I thank you that you encounter the King. My. There it is. There it is. I'm renewing your mind. I'm renewing your mind. I'm canceling the words that have entered your ear gates from time to time to time. I'm breaking it off. I'm loosing you now into the very hands of Almighty God. He's saying, run to me. Run to me. Run to me. The experiences that you had have been things that have hurt you, even within the church. It's not the church's fault. They're just trying. God says, if you run to me, you'll experience a peace that you've never had. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, people of God. When Jesus comes to meet you where you're at, does it for a reason. That's it. Fill her up. Fill her up. Fill her up. That's it. The yokes are being destroyed off your life right now. They're being broken right now. Lord, I thank you for her and I bless her. I bless her. In Jesus' mighty name. Oppression and depression leaves you and you'll not see it again. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. He says, He says to Saul, he says, why are you persecuting me? You're kicking against the ox goad. You're kicking against what I'm trying to get you to move to. You don't want to because you don't have an understanding of me. You've only had experiences through religious sects. Not sex, but sex. S-E-C-T-S. Through religious organizations, you've only had that experience, but never an encounter. But now that you have an encounter with me, you're no longer going to persecute those that I'm raising up in this hour to be those that will work alongside you to help you. Matter of fact, the ones that you've been after to kill, the ones that you've been after to persecute, are the ones that are going to keep you protected from those coming after you. Are you seeing this? Do you have an understanding of what this is about? He had an encounter on a road. Bible says, we have many preachers that will preach this a whole different way. Anytime you get out of the will of God, you go down a different way. A different way. It's called straight street. He'll make sure you go get straight with him. He's going to put you through a ringer or two. He's going to put you through a cycle to get the wrinkles out of you. But one thing I do know, Miss Katrina, that every time God is speaking something to us, we're about to experience something like never before. But when we have an encounter with God, it doesn't matter what's coming our way, because I've already been transformed and changed from within. I'm no longer seeing the same. I'm no longer talking the same. I'm moving my butt out the way. Oh, Lord, let me get to moving. Let me get to moving. Here's a truth about the ox goad. When Jesus rebuked Saul, who would soon become the Apostle Paul, for kicking against the goats, he was telling the proud Pharisee that he was only hurting himself in resisting the truth and the teaching of Jesus. The more he resisted, the more he suffered. The harder he kicked, the deeper the goad drove into his flesh. Kind of like, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Has God been blessing you, keeping you, maintaining you, but you're kicking against? You're kicking against where you're at right now because you're desiring more, even though God is blessing you where you're at right now, and you can't see the blessing because it's not the way you want to be blessed. It's not the way that God wants for you to have it right now in this moment, because he knows if he was to get to you what is rightfully yours right now, you would mess all things up because of your old ways. Oh, Lord. Lord. God wants to get something to you right now, but he wants you to see that you're kicking against his will. Are you biting the nails, scarred hands of your supplier? Where has God been applying his ox goad to your life? Where has he been pricking you, prodding you, leading you to get to? Are you going to let it go? Are you going to ignore it? Or are you going to submit to it? When you surrender to his will, his word, his leading, you will have an encounter that will change your life forever. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15 as I get ready to close this. 1 Corinthians 15 out of the English Standard Version reads this wise. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. This is the Apostle Paul, which was Saul. Of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. That's a strong message right there. Did you just come and listen to what I had to say just to please me? Or did you do this because you meant it? That you truly believed what I was preaching? Truth be told, we have many of those things taking place in houses of worship all over the land. We go to church because it's what we were raised to do. But when do you have an encounter with your Savior? Verse 3. For I have delivered to you as of first importance what I have also received. Watch this. You can't give something to somebody that you first haven't received. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. And that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James and to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. Like that humility He has, right? I'm the least of them all. I'm the least. And He appeared to me. Watch this, watch this. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I'm persecuted. I persecuted the church of God. Watch this, watch this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so I preached, and so you believed. I love it when He says, but by the grace. But by the grace. Everything that says I'm not worthy, but the grace. Everything that says I am unqualified, but the grace. Everything that says I'm a sinner, but the grace says I'm not. Everything says I have failed in life, but the grace of God. I'm getting rid of the but out of your life. God has come so that you would have life and have it more abundantly. He is having an encounter because He remembers where He came from. I persecuted the Christian, but the grace of God. I no longer persecute. I write 2/3 of the Bible. I write the New Testament to let you know. But the grace of God. It was nothing but the grace of God that brought me out of the pit, that brought me out of who I was, that changed my life, changed my character, changed my vocabulary. It was nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but the grace of God that came in and changed my life. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not where I used to be. Nothing but the grace of God. No! I persecuted my brothers. I talked about them. But the grace of God. Though they talked about me. Though they ridiculed me. Though they came and plotted against me. Nothing but the grace of God. I may have fallen 7 times. But I rise 7 times. I may have fallen short of the glory of God. But I will always rise to the occasion. Because He's lifted me up. Nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but old school saints. Old school saints say nothing. Nothing but God. But God. You have no money to pay your bills, but God. You don't have enough money at the end of the month, but God. You've got nothing left in the tank, but God. You've got nothing in your spirit that can help you, but God. You got nothing in your abilities, but God. You may be struggling with some things in your life, but God. What is it? If you get your butt out the way, God can step in to your now and change things in your life. My God. Is God speaking to you, baby, about moving the butt out the way? Because we always have a tendency to put limits on what God wants to do in our life because we make excuses with the but. God says, give me those excuses and you'll see me work for you. Now that I made a way for you, what are you going to do with it? Now that I made things available to you, what are you going to do with it? Now that I've moved some people out of your life, what are you going to do now? Now that I moved them away and I begin to prune at you and the things that I want for you, what are you going to do now? Even though it felt uncomfortable, it felt uneasy. But God, some things had to be moved out of your life. Some things had to be moved out of the way. Why? But God is about to show up in your life. He's about to do something fresh and new in your life. But God. But God. But God. But God. If you ever wonder why, when, and the how, but we never wonder about the but. He'll do it if you let him. He'll do it if you let him. Don't make the excuses. Stand your feet, stand your feet. No more excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses. It's always this, it's always that. And you lean on the things that you knew back then. You lean on the ways that you knew back then. But God. But God. God's so good that He loves you that He won't leave you where you're at. He's so good that He loves you, He's not going to leave you there. The Bible says if you ask the Father for anything, even bread, will He give you a stone? He's a good Father. What you ask Him, He's going to give you, right? My question is, what are you asking for? What are you really asking for? Because if truth be told, if you're really asking the heart of God, you'll see the manifestation of God. Oh, there's a shift and a change. I don't know what kind of line of business that you're in. But if you let God get in there, you really let God get in there, He's going, oh yeah, this is how He's going to work on you. And I say this with respect, man. No disrespect. None at all. He's going to work on your pocketbook. He's going to work on your pocketbook. Come on, man. He's going to work on your pocketbook. Because He says, your treasure is where? Your heart is. This is who you are, and this is who you are. You will give to anybody that's in need. You have fought for those that can't fight. You have given of yourself to step in for people that can't stand for themselves. You have a spirit like Joshua, a spirit like Caleb. Give me my mountain. Give me what's rightfully mine. Because God has called you to be a blessing. Called you to be a blessing. But you've put the but before God. Now let God come in and increase you. Some rapid things are coming to you. They're going to come together like this, next, this, next, this, next, this, next, this. The only thing you got to do is do. It's happening fast for you. Very fast for you. If you trust the Spirit of God, don't trust me. I'm just a man like you. At the end of the day, I'm just a man. But the Spirit of God knows you. Knows you. You've been fighting so much, man, for people. You've been going through so much. You've been tired and weary. I hear God saying, I'm fighting for you now. I'm fighting for you. Can I hug you? I bless you, man. God bless you. God bless you. You've walked away from a lot. A lot. And at times in your mind you think, did I make the right choice? You second guess. I hear the Spirit of God says no more. You feel that you're less than. Do I deserve this? Can I have this? I'm going to tell you the goodness of God is yes. You deserve it. You deserve the blessing that is about to overtake you. It's going to change your life forever. You're on that path. Matter of fact, if you read this story and you spend time in it, you've been that Saul. But He's changing you to be a Paul. To bring encouraging words to people. Not to be religious. Paul wasn't religious. Paul got in their face and told them what was going on in their life. That's who you are. Don't hold back. God wants to get a blessing to you, man. Encounter Him. Will you let Him? Amen, brother. Amen. Man. Amen. Love you, Papa. Are we getting rid of the butts? Will you walk with me, Sharon? Will you walk with me? If I can get my wife to walk with me, Come on, Ernest. I'm going to show you how God has been walking with you, Sharon. I want my wife to come and grab the other hand of you. I felt this. Here you go. I looked up earlier and I said, my daddy showed up. When I said that, I saw an arm come around like this. Oh, hear this, hear this, hear this. And I saw you walking down the aisle, being led by God. I'm bringing you out of this. I'm bringing you out of this. And who's on your other side is the ministering spirit, which I called to be at my side. And when I saw that, I said, we stand with you. Church, extend your hands. Extend your hands. Come on, come on. We stand with you right now. We stand with you. We'll believe God for the encounter that is necessary, that makes change, that brings about a great peace and a wave. A wave. I smell a fragrance right now, like a perfume that is reminiscent, that you can remember. And you've been smelling it more and more. I hear God saying, I'm with you. And I'm with you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. I thank you for the angel that is at her side, that ministers to her in her sleep. Give her that peace, oh God, and let your truth prevail in this circumstance. We thank you for it now, and we bless her from the very crown of her head to the very soles of her feet. Lord, we thank you for your abiding presence in her life, over those precious children, her family. I just saw a flash of your son. Yeah. That's going to be settled. That's going to be settled. There's an anger that's there. That's going to be settled. I've ordained where you're at today to let you know I'm doing a great work within your family. Orders are going to be given for your son. And he'll receive it. And there'll be a change. But I bless this family right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And we celebrate with her right now, Father, for victory in all areas. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet as we close right now. As we close.